Well, does anybody know what our official motto is for our nation? Yeah, in God we trust. President Eisenhower and the 84th Congress of the United States declared June 30th, 1956, that the United States would adopt "In God We Trust" as our official motto. And then we printed it on our money starting in 1957. You think we live by that today? I'm not talking about you as an individual. I'm talking about our nation. Have we drifted so far that we no longer even claim that God is in charge? We seek Him when there's a disaster or when something happens. You remember the first time you heard when President Obama proclaimed America is no longer a Christian nation? You remember how you felt when he said those words? How you felt when you saw what was happening in the world? Psalm 16, verse 14 says, "Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods." Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. I believe that's true for a nation, and I believe that's true for us as individuals. You and I can miss what God has for us when we're not seeking Him and when we're not striving to know Him. In Habakkuk chapter 1, I want to read there the first 11 verses. Habakkuk chapter 1, it's in the Old Testament, if you didn't know. And if you go to the end of the Old Testament and you come back, you'll run across it. Says, "The oracle which Habakkuk the prophet saw. How long, O Lord, will I call for your help and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore, the law is ignored and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted." Are we living in a day where justice comes out perverted? Our court system. I thought I'd take just a few minutes to share with you some thoughts. First of all, I don't know if you read it, but recently the city of Dallas is on notice, the employees of the city of Dallas are on notice that they must use preferred pronouns or risk being fired, according to those documents. The warning was included in a city document entitled "Workplace Gender Transition Protocols and FAQ," which specifies approved conduct regarding transgender individuals. Transition may include coming out, telling your family, your friends, your coworkers, changing the name or sex on legal documents, or assessing medical treatments such as hormones or surgeries. You could be fired if you don't say what that person feels like that day. You could be fired for that. Now, tell me how together that is. People are crazy. The mass shooting that took place in Allen, it took 4 minutes for this person with an arsenal of firearms to kill 8 people and wound 7 others at a Dallas area shopping center before a police officer ended the rampage. The massacre Saturday sent hundreds of shoppers at the Allen Premium Outlet scrambling for cover in shop, storeroom, and closed hallways. What would possess a person to do that? It's not the gun. It's the heart. When you and I look at what's happening in our world, it's a heart issue. We have rage, we have anger, we have hate because our hearts are not open and sensitive to what God is saying to us. Here's another one. I don't know if you noticed, but Michigan, their legislature recently approved a ban on conversion therapy for LGBTQ plus minors. Now, conversion therapy is something that is done to help a person in identifying or knowing what God has to say to them. However, you can, I don't even want to say it, it's so horrible. You can have a person come to a child and try to convert them to a transgender lifestyle and there's no repercussions. But when you try to convert them to God, there are repercussions. There's legality that's now been attached to those things. The last one I want to share with you is right here at TCU. Texas Christian University offers drag queen class to explore queer world making. They teach that in college. Can you believe that? How is that going to help somebody make money? It's just simply ridiculous what is going on in our world today. This university, Christian University, is offering a course on the queer art of drag, where students will be taught about drag performance as an outlet for social critique, pedagogy, and queer world making. As part of the course, they give each student $100 to go buy their drag outfit. And then they have a time when they can all come and present their drag attitude. That's taught right here in Texas. Can you imagine what's going on in the rest of the world? I mean, if we are the Bible Belt, It is a sad, sad day as we look at the world in which we live. And there's so much similarity as Habakkuk looked at what was going on in his world. Habakkuk lived during Judah's final days, about 12 years before he came on the scene, and he was a powerful prophet in the year 600 BC. There was a revival by King Josiah that impacted the people that were there, a revival where their hearts were brought close to God. And here it is, 12 years after that fact, and they're now living as a nation without God. Habakkuk uses six different words here to describe this difficult situation he was in. Violence, injustice, wrong, destruction, strife, and conflict. For Habakkuk, the times were not good. Thus it was the prophet continually crying out to God, his prayer lifted up to him, in those unbearable times of his life. This is going to be a simple sermon in the sense that there's only two points. The first one is this: the struggles of living in a nation without God. Time and time again in this first chapter, first four verses really, Habakkuk says, how long, O God? How long am I going to continue to cry out to you and see my world falling apart? How many times am I going to ask you to work? That's what Habakkuk was doing. He hadn't given up on God. He was crying out to God that God would work in the midst of this evil situation in the world that he was living in. He's questioning God's sovereignty. Notice one of the things he says there is, why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. You come to the place in your life where you say, God, why in the world are you letting these individuals continue to do these things? You know, I don't know if you saw it, probably you did, on the TV when the guy just walked up to somebody and hit him with a bat. For no reason. The guy hadn't done anything. He was just standing there. The people that were pushed in front of a subway inside the station. The people who were murdered inside of a subway station. Do you ever struggle sometimes wondering why in the world, or how long is this going to last? How long is it going to keep going? You know, one commentator has said, you know, if God allows our nation to continue, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Because we have fallen. We no longer are a nation that is truly trusting in God and allowing him to work. Here are some of the things that Habakkuk was probably questioning here. Look on the wickedness. Why aren't you doing something, God? Look on the destruction and violence in our day. Look on while strife and contention increases. Look on while the law is ignored. Look on while the wicked win. And look on as justice is perverted. You might be asking the question, is there a benefit to watching what is going on now? As we stop and look at our nation, we realize how far we have fallen. You know, several years ago, there was a book, and inside the book talked about this illustration of a frog being put inside of a kettle. When the water's cool and nice, the frog's great. But then you slowly start turning up the heat. Slowly start making things harder, more difficult, until what? The frog is finally boiling. We are living in a nation when you wonder, how much longer, God, until we boil? That was the same question that Habakkuk was asking. He was asking, how much longer? How much longer are we going to have to live like this? In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, God says, I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land. But he finishes this verse by saying, but I found no one. Is the church no longer a voice to our nation? Yes, it is. It is a voice to our nation. And there are many people in our nation who are crying out to God, how much longer? How much longer? Are you one of those? Are you one of those who are crying out to God, how much longer until you bring judgment? Let's take a second to look at what God responded to him. God said to Habakkuk in verse 5, look among the nations. Observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days you would not believe if you were told. For behold, I am raising up the Babylonians or the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. They are dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate where? With themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. Their horsemen come galloping. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping down to devour. All of them come for violence. Their horde of faces moves forward. They collect captives like sand. They mock at kings, and rulers are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress and heap up rubble to capture it. Then they will sweep through like the wind and pass on. But what does it say there? God sees it, doesn't he? He knows their action. It says, but they will be held guilty. They will be held guilty for how they live. They whose strength is their God. They're not trusting in the one true God. They're trusting in the God of this world. They're trusting in their own strength, their own ingenuity, their own ability to do these things. If you and I trust in God, we are secure. It doesn't mean we're not going to have problems. Doesn't mean we're not going to have difficulties. Doesn't mean we're not going to face challenges that are going on in our world. But what? We can know that God himself has given us his security. You know, you were told, don't read the last verses. But go to chapter 3. Let's look at how Habakkuk finishes his confrontation with God, his complaint before God. He says in chapter 3, starting in verse 16, I heard and my inward parts trembled. At the sound, my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble because I must wait quietly for the day of distress. For the people to arise who will invade us. Now, this is the part I want you to listen to. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet, it's an important word there. Transition. A transition that takes place, as we talked about a minute ago, in the heart. Something that we do, we choose to do, we commit to do. Like Habakkuk, he says, yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places. God himself will be our helper when we put our trust in him. We may go through difficulties and problems and tragedy, but guess what? We don't go through those things alone. God himself is present. He is with us. And he is going to be the one who continues to give us the strength to get through whatever is before us. Romans 3:24 says, yet God in his grace fully makes us right in his sight. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it says there that God himself has given you his righteousness. He did this through Christ Jesus. I'm continuing on in Romans 3:24. When he freed us from the penalty of our sins, he has given us the opportunity to trust him, to walk with him, to live according to his principles even in the midst of the most difficult situations of life. 2 Peter 3:14 says, "And so, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen," what things to happen? You're waiting on God to come back. When you're waiting on Him to hold the wicked guilty, when you're waiting on that, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in His sight. It was just few verses before that where he was talking about individuals who said, "God's not going to come back. He hadn't come back yet. He's not going to come back." And Peter said, "God is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." God has demonstrated to Habakkuk, He's demonstrated to us the reality that He loves us and that He is going to be with us through very difficult and challenging times that we're going through in our world. 2 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7 says, "Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith." Habakkuk was walking by faith. He believed that God was going to come through for him. There was going to be a time where God Himself was going to show Himself as the sovereign God of the universe. It says we live by faith, not by sight. "But we are of good courage and prefer rather to be absent from the body to be at home with the Lord. Therefore we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Are you ready for that day? I'm not just talking about the nation. I'm talking about you and me. Are we ready for that day when we present ourselves before the judgment seat of Christ? Have we taken the time? Just like you can plan for your retirement. Plan for eternity. Plan in such a way that you are walking with God. And you are living a life that is pleasing to Him. Even though we look at this nation and say, "Man, we are so messed up. We are so confused." Confusion is what? What is chaos? Is God the author of chaos? Paul says, no. No, He's a God of order, not a God of chaos. And when we are looking at chaos in our world, we know God is not behind that. He is working for our good. Even though we might falter as a nation one day, I don't know. I'm going to leave that up to God. He's better to take care of that than I am. I'm going to leave that up to Him. But if we fall as a nation, it's going to be because we have forgotten God. Because we no longer look to Him. Because we no longer trust in Him. Because we no longer allow Him to be the strength that we depend upon rather than the God of all strength. You remember how I started out. Psalm 16, verse 4. Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. We are a nation. We are a nation. If you can't see it, I'm sorry. But we are a nation that is chasing after other gods. And I don't know about you, but I feel like we're reaping some of the benefits of that. But we can change that. We can change that how? By returning to God. Isn't a revival what is needed in this nation? We're going to have the most powerful evangelistic event when we get our hearts right before God. When we are revived, then God can bring a spiritual awakening to our nation. But the sad thing is, in a lot of places, our hearts need to be revived toward God. Let's pray together.